Okay, good morning. Thank you all for joining. Today's daf is the last daf in the perek, daf chavav. Let's start again on daf chav hey amid beis. We are we're dealing with the issue of karfeif. Karfeif is a large storage enclosure, a backyard. So we saw that if it's eino mukaf ledira, if it was not surrounded with walls for residents, in other words, no one's living there, it's just a very, very large enclosure. So according to most Tanaim, you're not allowed to carry in it anything which is bigger than the chatzar of the Mishkan, the courtyard of the Mishkan, bigger than Beis HaSayim, the area to plant two sa'ah, bigger than 100 by 50, and not a residence, you can't carry within it, even though it's enclosed with walls. So now let's deal with the story here. Four lines from the bottom of Chafei Amid Beis. Ahu Abvarnaka. Abvarnaka was, according to different explanations, that's why I just sent out another picture on the chat, but according to the opinion that Rashi says, when people have an orchard, so sometimes they make like a gazebo on one tree. So they have one tree, and they surround this tree with some type of a tent element, so that when they're walking around in the orchard, they could hang their jacket off. It'd be protected from the elements, be protected from the wind, from the sun. They could get some shade. So there was this abvarnaka. If you look at the picture that I just sent out on the chat, you have a tree, and underneath the branches of the tree, there's this wooden board to provide the shade. That's the abvarnaka. It's like a tent in the middle of an orchard. This existed for the exilarch, the head of the Jews of Persia, in his orchard. So he had a very large orchard, which was not a residence. It was this large, I don't know, botanical garden that had trees and plants, and flowers, apple trees, and cherry blossoms. And in the middle, there was this tent built within the branches of a tree. So I'm with Rav Huna Bar Chinina. So the Reish Galusa, he wasn't the most knowledgeable, so he would employ rabbis. He said to Rav Huna Bar Chinina, the Eved Mar Takanta, the master, namely the rabbi, should make some type of fixing. So that tomorrow on Shabbos, I'll be able to eat bread there. Mikey, welcome back. It's so nice to see you. Real honor that you join us. That tomorrow we should be able to eat bread there. In other words, I know that this is a big enclosure, which is not an enclosure for residents. There's no sleeping bags there. You know, people aren't living there. I guess there wasn't any door, wasn't any house door opening directly into it. So it's not an enclosure for residents. I can't carry around, but I want to take from my house out to this gazebo, this tent, to be able to eat there. So do something. So Azul's Rav Huna Bar Chinina went, and he built Avad Kana Kana Pachas Mishlosha. So that's the picture that I sent out. Picture 160. He built a path leading from the door of the house all the way to this gazebo. And the path was built of stumps, sticks, rods, that were less than 3 tefachim from each other. So now, there's like a new area. You can walk to the gazebo, carry things out to the gazebo. Amar le Rav Huna Bar Chinina, right? Do something. So Azal Avad Kana Kana Pachas Mishlosha. Azal Rava. Rava went. Now turning to Chavav Maral, today's daf. Shlafinu. Rava pulled all these stumps out. Because why? Rava apparently felt that this gazebo is already a residence. So it's considered an enclosure for residents. Then when you have an enclosure, Ladira, it can be very big. It can be bigger than 100 by 50. So Rava had two students, Rav Papa and Rav Huna, Breid Rav Yoshua. So they wanted to show support for their teacher Rava's decision. They stole away these clumps. They took these stumps, you know, after Rava pulled them out of the ground, so there's no longer a fence. They then took them away and put them in storage. So now you couldn't even rebuild them on Friday if you would want. Rava's right, there's no need to do this. The Machar, the next day, it was in the morning. Shabbos morning, right? Reish Galusa's planning to have a lunch outdoors under the gazebo. Esfer Ravina LaRava. Ravina now challenged Rava. We learned in the following Mishnah. We looked at a Mishnah. Ir Chadasha. We know that in regards to Tchum Shabbos, which is the topic of the next chapter, you have a limit in terms of how far you can walk on Shabbos. Whatever spot you began Shabbos in other words, when Shabbos started during Bein HaShemashos, the spot that you were in then, you can walk 2,000 amos in each direction from that spot. Now, here in Englewood, because it's one municipality and there are a lot of houses, well, entirety of Englewood is considered one spot. In fact, Englewood Cliffs is also part of this spot, as is Teaneck and Bergenfield. So we could walk a while on Shabbos. We don't have the issues of Tzchum. But here we have the following Mishnah. Ir Chadasha. If you have a new city, Modin Lam Yeshivasa. The spot is the settled area. So the last house, that's where the 2,000 amos start from. Yeshana, when you have an old city, then it's even past the last house. Nechomasa, you start measuring the 2,000 amos of Tchum Shabbos from the wall of the city. Ezu Yichadasha, Ezu Yeshana, what's a new city, what's an old city? Chadasha, a new city where you measure from the last house. Shehukfo Basof Yashva, where the wall was put around, and then the houses. So since the houses are newer than the wall is not considered an extension of the house. Yeshana, what's an old city? Yashva. First there were the houses. The houses were old. Then there was a wall. So then the wall is just an extension of the houses. So if that's the case, here, first there was a wall. Then they planted the tree. Then they made the gazebo under the tree. So he's saying to Rava, this wall cannot be considered an extension of the residence, and the residence being the tree, because the wall came first. So it's not a hukaf ledira. If it's not hukaf ledira, you can't carry in that area without doing something to fix it. You'd have to break stuff and rebuild things. Hi, Nami, this, you know, gazebo and this enclosure, kuhukful vasof yashvadami. It's like a situation where there was a wall first and then it was settled. Oh, so now once Rava was challenged, now his other students also started to challenge him. Amler of Papa LaRava. So Papa said to Rava, how could you tell the Reish Galusa that the solution of Ravuna Bar Chinina wasn't necessary and you pulled out the stumps? Amler of Asi, what are you saying? You're saying this gazebo is a residence. But didn't Rav Asi say, Mechitza said Drachlin Lo Shema Mechitza. Walls put up by construction people, that when they're building in the sun, they want to have a wall to protect them from the sun. That's not considered a wall for Shabbos. Alma, what's the logic? It's only made to create a little bit of modesty. And Rashi says, it's not going to stand very long. You just keep it up as long as you're building. Once you're finished, you're going to take it all down. So, it's not considered a residence. Lahavi mechitza, it's not a wall. So this too, this little gazebo is only for a couple days. It's a little hut. It's not a wall. Achanam given to its new savita lahavi mechitza. It's not a construction. It's not something lasting. So of course, it's not going to make the whole enclosure an enclosure of a residence. Then a third question. Ravuna b'ed Rav Yeshua l'Rava. Ravuna the son of Rav Yeshua now challenges Rava. Again, they had been the ones who were putting away the ballards. Now they challenge Rava. Another challenge. You're saying, Rava, we don't need ballards to make a wall for a path from the house to the gazebo, because the gazebo is a residence, and it makes the whole enclosure an enclosure with a residence. But it's not even a residence. Number one, the gazebo came after the walls of the enclosure. Number two, the gazebo is just for shade, and it's not really a lasting structure. And number three, Amar Rava, didn't Ravuna say, Nachitza Asvila Nachas, when you make a wall, but not to live within the wall, but the wall is there to shelter property. Lo shma mechitza, it's also not considered a structure. What's the proof that a wall for property is not considered a wall? The Rabbi Bar Avuha, Ma'arva L'kula Mechuza, Arsiyasa Arsiyasa. Rabbi Bar Avuha used to make a Ruvei Chatzeros for each neighborhood in the town of Mechuza. So each neighborhood would make its own Eruv. They'd collect the food from the people of the neighborhood, put it in one basket. Every apartment had to contribute food. Then they would put that basket of food into one apartment. And then it's considered that all the apartments are part of that one apartment. And then you can carry, because it's not considered that you're carrying from one domain, one private domain, to another private domain. There's a very strange thing, because the city of Mechuza, as Rashi says, did not have 600,000 people. It itself was one big neighborhood. Why didn't he make one Eruv for the whole city? What was the reason? Mishum Heirud Beituri. Because there were these pits between neighborhoods, these ditches, and in the ditches they used to put the pits of dates. Why? Because that was food for the animals, for the oxen. Now they used to have alleys, and they would have walls at the front of each alley. And the reason why the walls were there were just to protect the pits from getting ruined. So since these walls were to protect the date pits from getting ruined, they were not considered walls. And since they're not considered walls, that's why he'd have to make an eruv for each neighborhood on its own. So you see, that a wall made to support, you know, property, a wall made to shelter property, is not a proper wall. So the same thing is true here. This gazebo is a structure to shelter property, for the guy to take off his jacket and the jacket to be saved from the sun. So that's why it's not a wall. So Rava agreed to all these challenges. He said, Reish Galus, I'm very sorry. You tried on Friday to be able to take your food from your house to the gazebo. Sorry, can't do it. You put up walls. I took the walls down. I thought you didn't need this extra wall. But you really do need the extra wall. You need the extra wall because my logic is wrong for three reasons. My logic was the gazebo itself makes the whole enclosure an enclosure of a residence. Doesn't work because the gazebo came after the enclosure. It doesn't work because the gazebo is temporary. It's just for some shade for the people. It doesn't work because the gazebo is just for shade for the property of people. And we know that a wall to shelter property doesn't have the status of a wall in regards to Rishus HaYachid. So Reish Galusa said, you guys messed up my lunch. This is why I pay the rabbis. Kari Alai Reish Galusa. So the Reish Galusa said about Rava and his students, Chachamim Heim Ola Hara, they're very wise to make trouble. To tell me I can't do it, they have all the reasons why not. Ulehetiv lo yadu, but to help me out, to enable me to carry from my house to the gazebo, that they didn't know how. On Friday, when I could have done something, they didn't have any etzes. Now on Shabbos, when I can't do anything, now they know that I can't do it. So this is a very interesting Gemara. Yeah. This comment, I saw that the Chassam Sofer says that rabbis should derive from this Gemara that they have an obligation to set up an Eruv in a town to enable people to carry. Now, there are always going to be problems in setting up an Eruv. You know, here in Englewood, we have a big problem with the Libyan embassy. Because, as we've seen, you know, we're going to see the next topic, The nature of an Eruv is that you have an enclosure around the area, but now you have multiple houses opening up into this enclosure. So it's houses opening up into a chatzer. So you have to make an Eruv chatzer. So you have to get every house to contribute bread, put a basket of bread in one house. How are we going to get the Goyim to contribute bread? So what we do is we rent from the mayor, from the city council, the rights, so that by renting it, it's considered all one house. But you can't rent the house of the Libyan ambassador. Separate property. It belongs to Libya. It doesn't belong to America even. So the fact that you did a schiras reshus with the city council doesn't help you with the Libyan ambassador. So there's a problem, right? So maybe you can't make an Eruv in Englewood. So we rely on the fact that were there to be a fire, the fire department would go to his house. Since we rented from the municipality, from the city council, it's considered still that we rented from the ultimate ruler of the place. But it's a stretch. Rabbi Ganach doesn't carry in the Eruv of Englewood. But the Chassam Sofer said, you see from this Gemara, you're supposed to try to find leniencies because people are going to carry anyway. So at least find a leniency that in some way it'll be permitted. And that's what the Reish Kalusa was upset. He said, Rabbis, on Shabbos, you don't have any solutions for me. Friday we could have found a solution. We're supposed to try to find solutions to enable people to continue to observe. All right, now we're going to go on to another topic, the topic of... First we're going to talk a little bit more about Kairfeif, and then we're going to get into Eruv Chatzeros. So in the Mishnah, Rabbi Eloi said that he had heard three things from his teacher, Beliezer. He asked his peers, and none of them would confirm that they had heard that. So the first thing was in regards to Kairfeif. Most Tanaim hold... when you have a storage enclosure with walls around it and nobody living in it, it wasn't enclosed for residents, and you can only carry within that enclosure if it's limited in size. However, Rabbi Eloi said, I heard from Elezer, it doesn't have to be limited in size. I heard even if it's very, very big, afilu beis kur. In other words, normally everybody holds that if you have an enclosure without residents in the enclosure, you can only carry in that enclosure if it's smaller than two sa'ah. Two sa'ah is 100 amma by 50 amma. Yeah. He says even an area that the area large enough to plant a kur is 30 sa'ah. So that would be 1,500 amma by 15 amma. 1,500 ammas by 50 ammas you can carry in that area. Says the Gemara Masnis in this Mishnah, which is Rabbi Eloi's version of Rabbi Lezer's, Lok Chananya is not like Chananya. The Tana lived in a Raisa Chananya, where the Tana Chananya said, even if the enclosure is not 30 sa'ah, but 40 sa'ah. In other words, not a 1,500 amma by 50 ammas, but it would be 2,000 ammas by 50 ammas. Kasrachis shel melech, like the big enclosure of the king, you could also carry in it. Rabbi Yochanan explained, both of them, both Rabbi Eloi and Chananya, are based on a pasuk. Sometimes you have psukim, which are kriuk siv. They're written one way, but they're read another way. There's a pasuk in the book of Malachim talking about the reign of King Chizkiyahu with the prophet Yeshayahu. Shenamar, the verse says, Vayihi Yeshayahu lo yatza chatzer atichona. Yeshayahu hadn't even left the middle courtyard, and he was called back in. Now, Ksiv ha'ir. It's actually written not chatzer tichona, it's actually written ir tichona, the middle city. Karinam chatzer. We read it as courtyard. So what's going on? Why would the courtyard of the king be called ir? Now, be called city, that's one question. And really, it shouldn't even be called chatzer. It's really the backyard of the king. Backyard is karfeif, not chatzer. Chatzer is the front yard. Mikan, the explanation is like this. The Srachis Shel Melech, the big enclosure of the king, Shahayu Kayoris Beinunios, they were equal in size to middle-sized cities. The king's backyard is the same size as a whole city. And the fact that it's being called Chatzah, it's being called the front yard, is to say you're allowed to carry in it. So you see that you can have a very, very large enclosure, which is not really residential, but it'll be treated as if it's residential, and you can carry in it. So now, this is now the argument between Rabbi Eloi and Chananya. What's the argument? My server one holds, Ayaris Beninios, middle-sized cities, Havyon base core. Middle-sized cities is the area to plant 30 sa'a. Middle-sized city is 1,500 amos by 50 amos. Marshall, the other opinion says, the middle-sized city is mem sa'a, the area to plant 40 sa'a, 2,000 amos by 50 amos. All right, that completes the discussion. We resolved the two opinions. Okay, in our Mishnah, we said that a very, very large enclosure is also okay. What's the maximum? 30 sa'a. In a Braisa, there was a view that said that the maximum large enclosure that would be in K is actually 40 sa'a. Where are these opinions coming from? It's coming from the very fact that the idea that a very large enclosure would be okay is based on the fact that the Navi refers to a very large enclosure as chatzer, courtyard. Courtyard is certainly okay. So, and actually in that verse, it's talking about the enclosure being the size of a city. So now the question becomes, is a city base kur or is a city arbaim sa'a? That's the argument.
So
yeah, question. That's against this opinion. It's a different opinion. That was the views of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yossi. This is the view of Rabbi Elazar. Another view. Yeah, question. Yeah, the house was outside. So now the Gemara gets off on the tangent of this story with Yeshayahu and Hezekiah. Yeshayahu, my boy, awesome. Why is Yeshayahu in the back of the king's palace? In the courtyard, in the backyard called Ir, written as Ir. Amar Rabbi Barchan, Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Barchan explained the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Malamit Shechalach Hezekiah. It's because Hezekiah was sick. V'halach Yeshayahu, so Yeshayahu went, V'hoshiv Yeshiva al Pischa. He organized the yeshiva of students to sit at the door. Because when you have yeshiva students learning Torah, the angel of death can't come in. This is a way to prevent the angel of death from entering. From here you learn that if a Torah scholar gets sick, you should put a whole yeshiva to learn at the door to prevent the angel of death from coming in. But the truth is that's not right. It's not such a good idea practically. Because Dilma Asi Ligruye Be Satan. When you try to outsmart the Satan, the angel of death, and to put up this big impediment, yeshiva boys learning Torah, it might anger him. Oh, they're trying to stop me? And might he might then redouble his efforts to get in. So it actually might not be such a good idea to surround the sick person with yeshiva students learning Torah. Okay. Says the Mishnah, a second lesson. From Rabbi Loi, in the name of Rabbi Elazar. Shamati Imenu, I heard from the following. We're going to talk about this topic a lot. When you have multiple houses, right? Let's say you have an apartment building and it opens up to a courtyard. So now, really, technically, you should be able to carry from apartment to apartment and from apartment to courtyard because they're all private domains. But the rabbis made a prohibition. You're not allowed to carry from apartment to apartment. You're not allowed to carry from apartment to the courtyard. Because even to carry from one private domain to another private domain is not allowed unless it's unified in a single domain through an Eruv Chatzeros. So what happens if you have many people from a courtyard, many different houses, and they're merging their houses to be one domain? How do they do that? Every house has to contribute bread into a basket, and then that basket, which has a loaf from every single house, is put into one house. Here we have an Eruv Chatzeros. That's something which would last for the whole year. So here, in Englewood, we have a box of matzos that we have given to every Jewish resident of Englewood. We, even without them knowing about it, they all own a share in it. And it's in one house. And therefore, everybody's considered part of that house. What happens, though, if one person forgot before Shabbos to contribute bread? So now on Shabbos, we have a problem. In the courtyard, this guy has a share. Everybody else is considered one corporate entity because they all pooled their resources. But this guy is a separate entity. So he's going to create a problem for carrying in the courtyard because his share creates a problem on them. And of course, it's a problem for them to carry to his house, to carry from his house. So there's a solution called bittul. He can renounce his ownership. He can renounce his rights to his house. He can renounce his rights within the courtyard. And then people can carry, because it's as if he's not here. It's as if he's gone. He's not a separate domain. So said Rabbi Eliezer, said Rabbi Eloi, Shamati Yemenu, I heard from Rabbi Eliezer, Anshei Chatzer, if there are multiple houses opening up to a single common front yard, so Shachach Echad in one house forgot, velo irev, and he did not contribute bread, beso aser. So even though he annulled something, his house is still prohibited. He cannot carry from the courtyard to his house, or from the house to the courtyard. Says the Gemara, what nam we learned in the Mishnah, beso, the house of the person who forgot to contribute bread, but he annuls his rights. Aser, it's prohibited to carry from it. Lahotzi lahachnis lo, both he can't carry out from it into it. Vilahen, and the people of the courtyard also can't carry from it. So I'm Rav Huna ben Rav Yeshua, Rav Sheish lo kasha. It's not a contradiction. Starting chabav mi beis, that's exactly the point. Rav Eliezer Rabbana, Rav Eloi is quoting Rav Eliezer. So according to Rav Eliezer, when a person renounces his rights, so he can't carry from the courtyard to the house, but other people could. And the Rabbanan hold that when a person renounces his rights in the courtyard, nobody can carry from the house of that person. That person can't carry from that house, and nobody else can carry from that house. What's the logic? Kishatin Salomar. Once you spend time thinking about it, you'll come to the following answer. The Divir Belezer, Quencher Belezer, he holds when a person renounces rights, right? A guy realizes, because of me, nobody can carry in the courtyard. Because of me, they can't carry to my house. So he says, you know what? It's as if I'm not here. I know my domain. It's all yours. When somebody renounces, even though his primary motivation was to renounce his share in the courtyard, to enable the others to carry in the courtyard, he's generous in his renouncements. He also annulled his own house. So if he annulled his house, it's not his. So other people can carry from his house, because it's not his, it's just theirs. It's similar to hefker. However, the Rabbanan hold it when a person renounces, he's stingy. Someone who's saying, listen, my share in the courtyard's gone, it's all yours. I'm annulling my share. He's annulling the share of the courtyard. It's just based on low detail. He didn't annul his house. So they can't carry from the courtyard to his house, because they're carrying from the domain that belongs to all, the corporate entity, of all of them being one entity, into his house, which is a separate private domain. You can't carry from one private domain to the next. So Gemara says, why is this something you need to think about? Pshita, this is an obvious explanation of the argument. Amar Rachba answered, Anav Rav Huna bar Chinina Targimna, I and Rav Huna bar Chinina explained why you have to think about this. The point is, when you have to think that according to these views, it's basically a very general point. When people renounce on Shabbos their domain to enable others to carry, do we think that they're very generous? Or do we think that they're not so generous? Think about another case. Five people in one courtyard. Five houses open up to the courtyard. One of them forgot and he did not contribute bread on Friday. So on Shabbos, everybody comes and they say, you know, because of you, we can't carry. He says, no problem, I'm annulling. According to Belezer, if he annuls, he doesn't have to tell each one, I'm annulling to you, I'm annulling to you, I'm annulling to you. He can annul to one, and that's already considered having annulled to all. Because he annuls generously. However, according to the Rabbanan, when he annuls his domain, he'd have to annul to each one. Because we only take the words that he said. He said, I'm annulling to you. That's just to this guy. He has to annul to the next one, and annul to the next one too. Like, who does the following brisa follow? We learned chamisha shishuim b'chatzer echad, five houses opening up into one courtyard. One of them forgot; he did not contribute bread to the basket. Now on Shabbos, when he's annulling his domain, he doesn't have to tell each one, each of the other four people, I have an ult to you. It's an ult to everybody. You can only tell one. It's also enough. Come on. Who's that like Rebbe Elazar? So that's Rebbe Eloi's logic in Rebbe Elazar. According to Rebbe Eloi, what he heard from Rebbe Elazar, is that if somebody annulled his domain, we don't say that that just means he annulled his share in the courtyard. He annulled the share in the courtyard and he annulled his house. So other people can carry in the courtyard, and other people can carry from his house to the courtyard and from the courtyard to the house. He can't carry from the courtyard into the house or from the house into the courtyard, because that would then show that he didn't really annul, that his house still matters. That would be the revocation of his annulment. He can't carry, but others could carry. Rav Kahana Masnihachi. This is Rav Kahana's version. Rav Tevyumi Masnihachi. Rav Tevyumi had a different version. This is how Rav Tevyumi taught this discussion. They were in the yeshiva, and they asked, Kaman Azla, who does the following brisa follow? The brisa says, Chamisha Shishurim B'chatzer Echad. If five houses open up to one front yard, one of them forgot and did not make, he did not contribute bread to the Eruv. Kishim about to Rishu, so went on Shabbos, he annuls his domain. Doesn't have to go to each one and annul to him and to him and to him and to him. Come on, who's that like? I'm Rav Huna Bar Yehuda, I'm Rav Sheshes. Come on, who's that like? That's like Rebbe Elazar, that when somebody annuls, he annuls generously. I'm Rav Papa Labai. A puppet now asked the following question to Abai. Rebbe Elazar, according to Rebbe Elazar, who holds that when somebody annuls, he annuls generously. So when he said he's annulling his share in the courtyard, he's also annulling his house to everybody. What happens if Yamar Loma Vatilma? What happens if he said explicitly, I'm not annulling my house though? The courtyard, yes, but not my house. The Rabbanan, according to the Rabbanan, who say that when a person annuls, he's stingy. He annulled his house, but not his courtyard. Yamar Vatilma, let's say he says, I'm annulling my house as well. Is the house annulled? My time to Rebbe Elazar. Basically, we have to figure out what's the reasoning of Rebbe Elazar. Is it that when a person annuls his share in a courtyard, he's automatically annulling, we assume he's annulling his house too? Then, hi Omar, this guy, we can't make that assumption because he's saying, I'm not annulling my house. Well, do maybe time to Rebbe Elazar, the reasoning of Rebbe Elazar is, people don't want to live in a house without any rights to the courtyard. So if he says, no, I gave up my courtyard share, but I didn't give up my house share, we don't trust him. That's not normal. Most people wouldn't do that. People wouldn't want to say a house without courtyard. Even though he says, I'm going to be that guy. I'm going to have my house, but I don't have a share in the courtyard. We don't trust him. It's nothing. And the Rabbanan, we have a similar question. If he said, I am annulling my house, not just my courtyard, we have to figure out, my time with the Rabbanan, what's the reasoning that the Rabbanan say that when he annuls courtyard, he also annulled, he did not annul the house? Is it because you only look at what he said? He said, I'm giving up my share in the courtyard. He didn't say he's giving up his house. But here in this case, he is saying he's giving up his house. Then it is annulled. Time of the Rabbanan, the reasoning of the Rabbanan. It's not normal for a person to pull himself out of both his house and his courtyard. And now turn himself into a guest in what was his own property. But now, this guy, Kiyam Mivatilna, if he says, I am giving up both my courtyard and my house, maybe he'll have to call a comedian. We don't trust him. Because nobody wants to do such a thing. I'm late. So the answer is, both according to Rabban and Rebbe Elazar, we look at what he said. Came in the gully, daite gully, daite. Daite gully. If he said, I'm annulling my house, the house is annulled. If he says, I'm annulling the courtyard and I'm not annulling the house, then the house is certainly not annulled. Finally, v'chein shamati mimenu, I also heard from him, from Rebbe Elazar, as Rebbe Eloi said, shiyotzin b'arkablin b'pesach. You can use the arkablin plant as maror on Pesach. My arkablin, what is the arkablin plant? Amr Shlakish, Shlakish said, atzvasa haruziyasa. It's the strands that grow around the date tree. They're bitter. Somebody eats them. That can count as maror according to Rebbe Eliezer, and the reason why that's a novel idea is So you would have thought that mara has to be a vegetable. And this is obviously from a tree. That's the chiddush. Even though it's from a tree, it also can serve as mara. Hajan Allah, Be'ezus Hashem Yizbarach, Perek, Osin Pasin, Hajach Allah.